this evening. This is our Brahminical initiation for the congregation members here in Houston Temple. A few comments about the ingenuity of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where we're following as he did. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, followed as Bhakti Siddhanta did, and he's combined very uniquely the Panchatantrika system by which we extend first initiation and the Vaidika system which follows the Panchatantrika system whereby Gayatri mantras are given in a otherwise traditional sense. Diksha or initiation is simply receiving Gayatri mantra. And our Panchatantrika system recognizes that there must be preparation, proper qualifications for receiving Gayatri mantra. And in this age of Kali, there's no qualification. There's abundant disqualification. And so, the means of purification or qualification is the chanting of the holy name. And initiation into the chanting of the holy name, or Harinam Diksha, precedes this Gayatri Diksha. Jiva Goswami, one of our great, great acharyas in disciplic succession, as the author of Bhakti Sandarbha Sandarbhas, he received these Sandarbhas from the hand of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was, when he was a small boy, was Gopal Bhatta. He was the son of Venkata Bhatta, who at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the chief priest of Sri Rangam. And those of you that are from South India, you know what that means. His father was an extremely qualified, highly placed member of the Sri Vaishnava tradition. And his little son, Gopal, got the opportunity to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the 4 months of the rainy season when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the home of Venkata Bhatta at his request. So he, Gopal, had the opportunity to hear extensively from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the teachings of devotion that he was providing. At the same time, he had the opportunity to know intricate details of deity worship that he learned from his father. And of course, the teachings of the Sri Sampradaya. So from that time when he was a small boy, he gathered the essential teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu around various quotes from scriptures. And then he compiled these notes about the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, principally from Srimad Bhagavatam, but references taken from other sources, to establish the essential teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are based upon the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in essence, it was simultaneous. He wrote a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, but it was also a topic-by-topic elucidation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. brilliant work, which he then gave to Jiva Goswami and said, please compose this in some form so it can be published as one treatise on one condition. You don't mention my name. Because he wanted to be anonymous. And so Jiva Goswami put in the beginning verses, one learned Bhaka, without mentioning the name Gopal Bhaka, one learned Bhaka gave to one Jivakaha. Jivakaha is the diminutive of a jiva, one small tiny jiva, the Jiva Goswami, this monumental work that he, his whole life had compiled. So in that sattva, the sat sandarvas, the six sandarvas, one of those six sandarvas is bhakti sandarva. And in bhakti sandarva, Jiva Goswami is giving quotes, which I'd like to share some with you, that pertain directly with what we're doing right here this evening. He gives a definition of diksha in bhakti sandarva, taken from the Padma Purana. And this diksha is one of the essential, there's a long list of sanskaras, but it's one of the essential sanskaras in the process of the soul moving from one station of life to the next station of life. And this marks a spiritual transition from dependency upon our conceptions of material life to dependencies upon our conceptions of spiritual life. Harinam Diksha is means of purification to help us come to this stage. The chanting of the holy name is something that anyone and everyone, no qualification, disqualification. You just have to be a spirit soul. You're eligible. Pretty much everyone. And you can chant the holy name. And through the chanting of the holy name, to be accepted by the disciplic succession in the formal diksha, this Harinam Diksha, is to help us become qualified for this stage. The definition that he gives is divyam, there's two parts. Divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sanshaya tata diksheti sa prokta deshikais tatpakovidai. So those who are deshikas, they say, the learned personalities say, that that which is called diksha is where divyam jnanam tato dadyat, given, it's imparted, the process, through the process of submission unto the spiritual master, which means the disciplic succession, which means Krishna, through submission in this formal way unto Krishna. Divyam jnanam, transcendental knowledge, is the opportunity is there, proportionate to one's submission, that transcendental knowledge awakens, and simultaneously kuryat papasya samshaya, the one's previous sins are eliminated, clean slate, with the opportunity for full transcendental knowledge to be awakened within one's heart. That's the definition of what is happening this evening. Brahminical initiation. Before receiving Brahminical initiation, Prabhupada wanted to see, and our current initiating spiritual masters, in an even higher standard, because of Prabhupada's very superlative qualification, he had the capacity to bring people to that position. And what he wanted to see was that the persons would be very fixed. I think I may have shared this here in the past, but it's worth repeating it again because it's a wonderful illustration of what Prabhupada expected of brahminical initiated devotees. Guna Grahima shared this one with you. You can ask him about it next time he comes here. Prabhupada was visiting in New York, and somewhere there. Waited over the panel. Something heavy and just hanging on the end. Prabhupada was visiting in New York, and devotees from all over the United States had come to New York to see Prabhupada. There were going to be initiations. And so there was a week long of initiations, and there were, as far as my memory can say, it was 20, 25 persons each day, and Prabhupada would chant on the beach right in front of us and give initiation. And there were second initiations also. So, Guna Grahima Maharaj had brought 8 devotees, my memory serves me right, from San Diego, because he was president of the San Diego Temple, to receive second initiation. So he submitted the names to Prabhupada's secretary, got 8 devotees with me to receive second initiation. Prabhupada called them into his quarters and asked them, "Are you sure that these devotees will stay fixed in their practices of Krishna consciousness?" And he said, "Well, yes, I'm sure. But you're asking so." Yes. So, this was the day before. In the afternoon, he called him back in again and said, are you sure? I said, "Well, Prabhupada, I thought I was sure, but you've asked twice now, so maybe I should go check with the other devotees that came with us." But he had Anistagosti, and the answer was, "We're sure." Guess what? Prabhupada called him in a third time. "Are you sure?" He thought, Prabhupada must know something about what's going to happen. Maybe these people are not qualified. But so they, and the third time was, yes, they're all qualified. So they were all dominically initiated, and I think Guna Grahima shared with me that not all of them are still with us. In fact, if I can remember correctly, only one or two are still with us practicing devotional service. So it's a very great responsibility. The expectation is much higher. The higher expectation is that one will be qualified to worship the deity following brahminical initiation. Let's say the other way. Prior to brahminical initiation, you can assist. One may assist in making garlands or devices or different things to assist. Different temples will have different standards, so. But on the altar, directly addressing the deity and performing arti, worship, only brahminical initiated devotees, and the standard should likewise be in the kitchen, handling the flame, particularly cooking, because before what goes on the altar often will come from the kitchen. So, and then high standards of cleanliness and high standards of purity and high standards of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once gave this indication that the consciousness of the devotees who are doing deity worship, as much as the deities are worshipped very nicely by the pujaris, then the whole temple will flourish, and vice versa. If the worship of the deities is not to a proper standard, the whole temple will suffer. So those who are doing deity worship need to be at a very high standard. Very high standard of purity. Qualification. And Another function of deity, of brahminical work, is to act as the mouthpiece of the Lord, traditionally both to receive foodstuffs and to speak the message. So our primary function is speaking the message. You can take the side, but speak the message of Krishna in a transparent way. As it was received, it's also repeated. Because something happens when one is not pure. Something that is received comes out different than how it was received if one is not pure. So purity means the transmission is unimpeded. It's a direct transmission. And those who are brahminically initiated devotees should be qualified to speak the teachings of devotional service as found in our devotional literatures. Not only should be qualified to do so, they should do so on a regular basis. It's a duty. So I'll, in a formal way, encourage whatever the local standard is that you, or consider some way in which you can assist in the deity worship here in the temple. You may also have deities in your home. That's very nice. And assist in the deity worship here in the temple. And you'll learn so much more about the standard of deity worship in your home from the service that you do with deity worship in the temple. This is not just a managerial arrangement, so they have now more staff to worship the deities. It's the purpose is purification. All of our purpose in spiritual life is to qualify ourselves through purification to go back to Godhead. And this is purification and practical activity, practical practice to qualify us so that in the spiritual world we can also offer nice things to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami comments also about this. This the long purport to this verse that I just gave that he presents in Bhakti Sandarbha, and he connects deity worship to the process of chanting and explains that in this age of Kali, while chanting is the primary means of deliverance, it's very nicely complemented or paralleled with deity worship. They go very nicely together. Bhagavat Marg and the Pancharatrika Marg, the process of hearing and chanting as the primary means of our deliverance and worshipping the deity form of the Lord. Actually, the proper worship of the deity form of the Lord is dependent upon proper chanting and hearing activity. But it helps us in our chanting and hearing activity if done in the proper consciousness. So the devotees who are Brahmins and deity worshippers here should train you how to be in the right consciousness and the right state of cleanliness and the right procedures so that the worship of the deity is done very nicely. And this way, that purification that you receive carries over into all your other activities of life. Your activities at home, your activities at work, your activities when chanting, your activities when reading. And representing our disciplic succession, regardless of occupation or education, this is something that's expected. Their qualification must be there first. He presents another verse where he explains how the process of diksha works. The previous quote was what diksha is. How diksha works, he gives a comparison. This couplet, yatha tatha. When you see that in Sanskrit, it means you're going to hear a metaphor. Like this, so that. Yatha tatha. So, yatha kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidhanataha tatha Dikshayati sa proktas. Tata diksha vidhanena. The process of diksha is compared to yata kamsya yatam yati. Kamsyam is it's like kamsa. Kamsyam is base metal. And just as base metal can be transformed into gold by a process of alchemy, the yogis, they know alchemy. And they can take this kumbha here and make it into gold. Are you one of those yogis? Okay. In one lecture, Prabhupada explained how they do it, because in the verse, rasa vidhanina, kamsyam rasa. Rasa is not the same as rasa. Rasa, it means quicksilver, which is mercury, right? One of the elements. You put quicksilver and it just slips. But mercury, Prabhupada would explain this, the yogis at night, they would drink mercury. I don't recommend anyone does that. Because it's poisonous. In fact, if you have a thermometer and it gets in the hand of a child, quickly you should take it away from their hand, because if they swallow the mercury, they're finished. Mercury is highly poisonous. But somehow the yogis learn how to not be killed by drinking quicksilver or mercury at night. And then in the morning, when they pass water, on the base metal, and it turns into gold. If you don't do it properly, you're dead. If you do it properly, you're very wealthy. So by that, it's called the process of alchemy. By that alchemical process of turning base metal into gold, like that, a person who is otherwise in ordinary consciousness, you could say in base consciousness, tata diksha vidhanena, the vidhis, the process of taking an ordinary living entity, a conditioned living entity, and elevating them to the brahminical status, dvijitam jayate nrinam. An ordinary person can become dvijitam, possessed of the quality of twice born. This is a verse from the Pancharatras, Narada Pancharatra, a verse that explains the Pancharatrika system. So we've Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has combined the chanting of the holy name to qualify one to take up this alchemy-like process of submission unto the merciful disciplic succession, and receiving their mercy become mystically or transcendentally qualified. So it's not just, you know, the nice ghee that we have and the particular wood that we've chosen and the nice sand and the colors on the sand. It's not the ritual that is the essence of diksha. It's the submission on the one hand and the acceptance on the other hand by a bona fide process. When one is qualified, the result is dvijitvam jayate nana. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he discusses this process also in a very nice essay. He's called Pancha Sangskar, explaining how the procedure of initiation takes place, and he draws from the traditional model of during the samskara itself, there are, the form may be various, you know, the form of the kumbha may be different, but you need a kumbha, you need some fire, you need some wood, you need some ghee, you need some grains, you need mantras. So there's essential components of a yajna, there's essential components of this brahminical initiation. He indicates there are five essential components, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. The first one he indicates is tapa. And in some traditions, those of you from South India are very familiar with this one, a brand, a hot brand is placed on the shoulder of man, male, and the symbols of Vishnu are marked on their shoulder. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that same principle of tapa and applied it in this way. Regret. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the principle of looking behind and seeing the previous place where we were was not very nice compared to the place where we are now and the place where we're going. So that I wasted so much time and foolishly engaged myself in activities separate from and not with the interest of the personality of Godhead. There's this, the tapa is the regret for having misused and with that human form of life. And with that regret is the propellant to continue in the proper direction. So, other items, the other four items are, neck beads are given. So, as I mentioned before, the Gayatri mantra follows the Harinam Diksha, and with Gayatri, with Harinam Diksha, neck beads are given, a name is given, that's the third, and the Tilak mark, Urdhvam Kundra, the upwards or vertical Tilak marks for the Vaishnav, and a deity, traditionally a Shalagram Shila, or some worshipable form would be given to the candidate for initiation. And these five make up the Pancha Samskara. In this essay that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, in detail, he describes there must be preparation, there must be prior purification. Purascharya Vidhi is the technical term. One must be prepared. And when there are initiations, he describes, that are given very liberally, when one is not qualified, not previously purified, made eligible to receive the mantra, then it's meaningless. Literally meaningless. And this mantra must be received in disciplic succession. There's so many nice understandings presented in Bhakti Sandarbha, because initiation is an essential step in making progress towards the ultimate goal. The essence of the, from the disciple side, the essence is submission. And submission with clear understanding of what it is that I'm doing, what the significance of being a representative of the disciplic succession, and therefore my conduct and my qualities must be commensurate with that great responsibility. I hope I'm not intimidating the four of you that you now have a great responsibility to fulfill, but you have a great responsibility to fulfill. So don't be intimidated, be encouraged, and be proper representatives. It's true for all of us, but it's especially true for the initiated devotees, and it's especially true for those who are hermetically initiated. You have a increased responsibility, increased opportunity, and increased facility to worship the deity and to now speak before their initiation. They completed their Bhakti Shastri study. Prabhupada indicated four literatures that are essential for those who are Brahmanas, his representatives, the Bhagavad Gita and Nectar of Devotion, the first 19 chapters, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and Sri Ashopanishad. So they carefully study these texts under Radhakrishna Prabhu, and he's certified, they completed their study. So now speak very nicely the message of Krishna consciousness when opportunity arises. Worship the deity and demonstrate in all your dealings in home and in public and in the temple and wherever your life takes you, the qualities that one expects of a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. That's a very wonderful responsibility to have. So, I'll end with that, and now we'll have our young guest. The candidates will receive their Gayatri Mantra later, so now we'll just have that.